Good to be with you this day. It's great to have Jim and Sally back with us after their excursion to the far north, and I don't mean Niagara County. They've been in Alaska for the last few weeks, and it's good to have you home. It's good to see all of you. We're going to do something a little different today. So, good. Have I got everybody anxious now? Are you good? Everybody's. I'm not going to make you get up and move around or anything really strange, but I'm going to talk about prayer today. Last Sunday, actually way back in July, we started a series of how we live this life, and we looked at the seven attitudes that really kill the soul, and now the next 5 weeks, I want to talk about five practices that nourish and feed the soul, five practices of those who are followers of Christ. I've decided to stop using the word disciple because I don't know what disciple means anymore. It means something different to 100 different people. And when I was reading John Ortberg's great little book called The Great Omission, instead of using the word disciple, he used the word apprentice. We talked about this a little bit last week, that as a follower of Jesus, we are apprenticed to him. And you know what an apprentice is, right? The job of the apprentice is to watch the master do what they do, to learn and absorb all of that knowledge and all of that understanding, and then learn to be able to apply that to their own lives. And that is a perfect description of what followers of Jesus are supposed to be about. We're going to look at five of them, starting today with prayer. So let me read to you from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. I got the right gospel this time. I was announcing a reading from Matthew earlier and couldn't figure out why it didn't have anything to do with what I was talking about today. I had a birthday Friday. I'm allowed to be forgetful now. Or maybe not. All right. What I want you to notice, Jesus is about to make a significant decision in his ministry. He's about to name the 12 apostles. But I want you to see what he does before he gets to this major decision. From Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 12. Now, during those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them. And, well, we could have a contest here and see who could name all 12, but we won't do that. They're listed right there in that passage. There's Grumpy and Sneezy and Wrong 7. All right. And then in Luke chapter 11, this is Luke's introduction to his version of what we know as the Lord's Prayer. I think Luke's version is sort of the Reader's Digest condensed version. It's a bit shorter than what Matthew records. But I want you to see how that prayer came to be. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his followers." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say," and then the prayer, "Our Father," follows. Will you pray with and for me, please? Come, Holy Spirit, be present with us this day. Help us, Lord, to listen. Help us, Lord, to hear. Help us, Lord, to desire to know you, our Master, better. Help us, Lord. Amen. And if the text that somebody just got is from God, I'd like to know what the message is. Just, you know, sometimes God speaks in strange ways, and that could certainly be one of them. That's a whole different version of having Jesus on the main line, I think. That's about old telephones, isn't it? The goal of the Christian faith is to become as much like Jesus as possible. There is no other goal. the more we become like Jesus, the more his values, the more his priorities, the more of his life gets lived through us. But that's the goal. There is a lot of, gosh, I was listening to one televangelist type person this week who said that the goal of worship was so that we would feel better. It really doesn't have much to do with God. It's about our feeling better. And I wanted to punch my computer screen. But anyway, really? No, no, no. The goal of this life is for us to become as much like Jesus as possible. I'm not saying, by the way, that that's an easy thing. I'm saying that some days it's easier than others, but that there are certain practices that apprentices to Christ engage in that help us become more like him. And we're going to look at five of those over the next few weeks. And it starts with a choice. You make a choice. Do I want to become as much a follower of Christ as I can? Do I want to actually be apprenticed to him? Do I want to live this life or not? For I know that God works in me, and that it's God who's transforming me, but God also expects me to participate in this project. You know, it's not going to work if I simply sit in my chair and say, okay, God, here I am, change me, and then not do anything that would actually actively engage what some of those changes ought to be. I mean, I think, is it Gandhi, be the change you want to see, or is that Buddha? One of those sort of Eastern guys, anyway. Practices. When I was a younger man, well, as a wee lad, I was 50 years ago, I played baseball. I know, good grief. 50 years ago. I played baseball. I was a third baseman. And there was a number of things that we did to help us be better infielders. One drill was, and I was practicing this out in the entryway there, we'd take a baseball and then throw it up in the air and catch it this way, sort of grabbing it down, and you try to do that as fast as you could. And the reason you did this particular drill is that sometimes in baseball, the baseball bounces funny, and you got to be prepared to just snatch it out of the air. Well, that's a drill. You practice this so that in real life, when the situation comes up, you can do it. The other thing that we would do is the coach would hit ground ball after ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. They'd bounce off our shins. They'd bounce off our bodies, off our shoulders, occasionally off your nose. But the idea was that when a ground ball got hit to you, you wouldn't even think about it. You would simply react and throw. Those are drills, practices, if you will. When I was in high school, I played trumpet. I wasn't very good. Okay, well, I was second chair, trumpet, okay, of three, but the good news was there was one other guy who wasn't as good as I was, or apparently the music director didn't think so, you feel good about yourself however you can. So when I was playing the trumpet, we learned to practice scales. We learned how to get proper embouchure, how to hold the instrument correctly, how to make sure it was in tune with the rest of the band. And you did all those drills and those practices so that when you saw the note on the page, you didn't have to think, okay, first valve down, middle valve up, third valve down. You simply reacted and did it. Those are practices that we engage in when you're learning the organ, when you're learning the piano, even when you're learning to sing. There are exercises. There are things that you do. Well, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about practices that help us be better apprentices to Jesus. These are sometimes called disciplines, and those things, and learning to play the trumpet, you discipline yourself to do those things. But these practices that help us, prayer, worship, Bible study, accountable relationships, and service, those are the five we're going to talk about over the next 5 weeks. Today, we talk about prayer. But I don't want to talk about prayer. I remember going to a two-day prayer conference when I was early in ministry. And I thought, this will be good. We'll spend a lot of time in prayer together. We'll really get to connect with God. It'll fire up our souls. Well, we spent 2 days of hearing different people talk about prayer. And other than opening a session or closing a session with, okay, God, we're here. Thanks for being with us. we never really got to pray. And so I thought it would be a mistake for me to just stand here and talk about prayer. I'd like us to experience together some of these different forms of prayer. So that's what we're going to do now that everybody's completely out of their comfort zones. You don't have to fall on the ground or kneel or anything. Just you'll be able to do it right where you are. Are you ready? Whether you're ready or not, this is where we're going. So someday somebody's going to say, I don't want to do that. And I'll say, relax. We're going to anyway. So we're going to have a moment of silence. And what I want you to do in the moment of silence is, the best you can, forget that the Bills are playing this afternoon. Forget that you're trying to get ahead of the Baptists to lunch today. Forget, you know, whatever it is that is clamoring for attention in your mind. I just want you to take a moment and turn your thoughts toward God. Can you do that? Sit back, get comfortable. If you want to close your eyes while you do this, that's okay. But just take a moment in silence and turn your thoughts toward God. The ancients called this a mindful prayer, simply turning your mind Godward is a critical form of prayer. All too often, in the midst of a busy day, in the midst of a crazy day, in the midst of, you know, when everything is crashing around you, if you could just stop and get comfortable and allow yourself to tune that out so that you can have a mindful moment in the presence of God, you're in prayer. So far, so good? That wasn't too bad, was it? Take a moment, and I want you to think about someone or something or some situation for which you are truly grateful. Is that hard? Anybody have trouble thinking of? I didn't think so. In fact, I'm guessing something popped into your head as soon as I said that. Something. Right? You got that something in your mind? Just take a moment. You don't need to say this out loud. Take a moment in your mind, in your thoughts, or if you want to whisper it under your breath. But I simply want you to take a moment and say, God, thank you for whatever came to your mind. Take a moment and do that. I find that when I take time to be mindful of God's presence in my life, one of the first responses to being mindful of God's presence in my life is thanksgiving. I want to express my gratitude to God for what God is doing in and around, or has done in and around, or what is provided in and around and through me. That's a prayer of gratitude. So far, so good? Yeah. Go on a little journey with me. Jesus is on the mountain, and his disciples have gathered around him, and they ask this question: teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. You got that phrase? I want you to let your imagination out to play for a second. So sit back, be comfortable, and listen to my voice, and try and imagine in your mind what that looked like. What are people doing? Where are they sitting? Can you feel the hot Mideastern sun beating down? Can you feel the cool breeze? You're there, and it's a big crowd. There's a lot of disciples there, and there's families there. And so there's interesting aromas because people are there, and they've just cooked breakfast. And there's sounds, rustling of clothing, shuffling of feet. There's a baby crying in the back. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? And one of us says to Jesus, teach us to pray. What's that voice sound like? And can you hear Jesus respond? A form of prayer is called meditation. And meditating on the scripture, meditating on a passage from the Bible, something short or even a longer story, and imagining yourself into the story is a way to meditate, and also helps us to perhaps see and understand parts of the story that you might not have seen or understood in other ways. But most of all, it's a way for us to enter into what we're reading. You all right? That's three. One of my favorite books of all time on prayer is written by Orthodox Archbishop Anthony Bloom. The title of the book is Beginning to Pray. This is an Orthodox archbishop who, when he wrote the book, was in his 60s. And in the preface, he says, by the way, I'm still a beginner. I think sometimes we get down on ourselves because, you know, I've been around the church my whole life and I can't, or I haven't been able to, or I can't seem to express, or whatever. And don't do that to yourself. We're all beginners. Some of us are better at this part of it than others. Others of us are much better at the quieter parts of it than others. And all of us together in community, we learn to pray. There's an old tradition of what's called a breath prayer. It's a simple prayer. One of the oldest is Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, have mercy on me. And the idea with the breath prayer is it's a prayer that you would say with each breath through a particular period of time. You might pick 5 minutes. You might do something crazy and say, I'm going to offer this prayer all day today. That's a really interesting challenge, by the way. And people think you're mumbling at them when you're doing it, but don't worry. Take that expression, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, have mercy on me. And just take a few moments and breathe those words in and breathe them out again. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, have mercy on me. In some religious traditions, that's called a mantra. In the Christian tradition, we don't usually use that word, but to take a short prayer and make it the focus of a period of time or a day is a significant way of staying connected to the Spirit, staying connected to God all day long. I'll admit to you that some days I'll get up and decide I'm going to do that today, and I usually almost make it to breakfast before I forget, you know. And so you carry a card or something that reminds you of what you're trying to do today, and you come back to it, and you come back to it, and you come back to it, and you come back to it. As beginners, we're all learning to stay connected. Most people think prayer is asking for something, right? God is the sort of cosmic vending machine, Father Christmas. You know, if you really, really want it and can say it with the right words often enough, then, you know, you can name whatever it is and claim it for yourself. And how many of you think it actually works that way? Good. I'm in the right company then. I don't either. But having said that, God desires for us to make our needs known, to speak our petitions, those things that that we have some sense of desperation about, or just simply those basic human needs that we might have. So let me ask you the question. What do you need? What are you worried about? What are you concerned about today? What are the burdens you're carrying today? Take a moment and quietly to yourself, simply ask God to help. That's all the petition is. Let us pray. Go. If you're wondering, by the way, I'm up here praying, God, your church needs a treasurer. So, If you're responding to the invitation of God today on that particular point, please see me afterwards. Another prayer that I try to pray this every morning during my morning Bible study and devotional time is called Seeking the Heart of Jesus. It's a heart prayer, and the prayer is very simple. You simply say, God, help me to see every person I encounter today as you see them. I think one of the biggest struggles in the spiritual journey is that we're trying to do something from a perspective that just isn't going to work, that I need to have my mind, my heart, my life aligned, seeing the world as Christ sees the world. So take a moment. However you want to phrase it, help me to see others today as you see them. Help me to see this enemy of mine that as you see them. Help me to see this person that has wrongfully used me as you see them. Take a moment. Richard Foster, one of the foremost authorities on the spiritual disciplines in the United States, wrote a book titled Prayer. You want to borrow it? It's on my shelf. And in it, he unpacks 27 different forms of prayer that you can find in the Bible. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? I think his number is way short, by the way, because he doesn't count the occasional help and I'm lost and, you know, some of those sort of really desperation prayers. But one of the forms of prayer, and this is if I've been through a funeral with your family, one of the prayers that we'll often say together is a prayer of relinquishment or surrender as we seek to surrender the one who is deceased to God. It's a really important prayer because it helps us begin the process of letting go. But there may be other things in your world, other attitudes, other experiences that you need to surrender. There are those that I need to surrender. And so take a moment. Maybe there's something you need to give up today. And that prayer is very simple. Lord, I surrender this to you. Take a moment. I'm not prone to visions. It's a good thing to say out loud. Once or twice in my life, God's given me an image of something, but not a common thing for me. But the most memorable of those experiences for me had to do with prayer. And what was happening was I was what I saw was myself kneeling in prayer and an image of Jesus was standing over me, facing me. You got that picture? And as I'm watching, I'm kind of going through my prayer laundry list. You know, God bless mommy and daddy, and, you know, I need a treasure at church, and, you know, the bills could really use all the help they can get. Whatever is on your petitionary list, right? And so I, as I'm watching in this vision, I see myself go through all of that, and then in Jesus' name, amen, and I get up to leave. Here's the picture I can't let go of. As I get up to leave, Jesus is doing this. He had something to say to me, and I didn't wait around long enough to hear it. A significant part of prayer is not just our talking, but is learning to still ourselves and listen. That God is still speaking. God has a word for you most days of your life. I'm not saying you're going to hear voices. That's a whole other issue. But that you may find within yourself the calm assurance or understanding or significance of what it is you're wrestling with if we'd listen. So here's what I want you to do. Get comfortable and just listen. The first practice that apprentices to Jesus begin to learn to engage in is this practice of communication with God through what we say and through listening. We speak, we listen, God speaks, we hear, we grow our lives in that encounter and in that experience are transformed and made new. Okay? So that's 8 of 27. You did good. I'm not going to do the rest of them. Relax. But find a way to engage. Find a way to spend, as the hymn said, take time to be holy. Speak off with the Lord, as the hymn said. Now, since this has been a workshop, I'll give you a chance. Are there any questions that you'd like to ask before we move on in our time of worship? How's that for a scary, scary thing to drop out in the middle of things? No, huh? Okay. We are all beginners at this. You, me, everybody in the room, everybody on the planet. And we will always be beginners until we see God face to face. And then we'll know as fully as we have been known. That great line from 1 Corinthians 13. Let's close our time. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping us be beginners and for helping us begin. Thank you for grace that allows us to listen, to hear, and to speak, and to know you better and better, and to follow you as apprentices. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.